Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today. We are in the Gospel of Luke, my expository verse-by-verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. If this is your first time, thank you for joining us. And we have a lot here on this Podbean channel. So after today's session, please go back and listen to the previous sessions out of the Gospel of Luke, and even listen to the teachings out of the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. There is timeless, rich information here about the Lord Jesus' ministry that will transform your life. So today, what is the gist of these upcoming verses here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13? The Lord Jesus will talk about the absolute fact about true repentance. Okay, he would talk about it's either you repent truthfully or you perish. Okay, referring to eternal damnation. But as we know, it is God's will for none to perish, but for all to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is out of 2 Peter 3:9. So the Lord Jesus is giving everyone the opportunity to spend eternity with him. And really, eternity begins right here once you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So let's get into these verses and find out how the Lord Jesus would present this. Luke 13 verse 1. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. So apparently there were people in the crowd, obviously including the Lord Jesus' disciples, who told him this story, how Pilate, these verses do not tell us, but many Bible scholars believe this is referring to Pontius Pilate, who was the governor during the Lord Jesus' ministry, that he had killed some Galileans, okay, probably because they were rioting, probably because of political reasons, but we don't know why, but the why is not relevant here. It's a principle the Lord Jesus would teach. So these people came to Jesus and they wanted his opinion about that incident that Pontius Pilate did, killing those Galileans. So let's get into verse 2 and find out how the Lord Jesus would begin to respond. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way?" That is a question. You know why the Lord Jesus asked them this question? And this is so relevant to us today. Because back then, during the Lord Jesus' earthly ministry, they had this erroneous notion that when calamity befall you, or when you die from calamity, or from an accident, or from some disease that killed you, it had to do because of sin. It had to, that calamity must have come upon you because of unrighteousness, okay? Isn't that how some people think even today? That when you are suffering hardship and you have various diseases attack you and calamities of unexpected accidents, earthquakes or bomb, it means that your life is unrighteous or it means that you are a sinner. That is absolutely not true. And the Lord Jesus is going to correct that. Why isn't that true? Because we live in a fallen world. Bad things, unfortunately, happen to good people. And Satan is around, who is here to kill, steal, and destroy. So Satan at times attack righteous people with sicknesses and diseases, and bad things happen to good people. Sometimes it's just poor judgment, poor decision, and we open ourselves to calamities. But that doesn't mean that you committed a sin. God is not punishing people with calamities. God, that's just not the God of the Bible. So that is what the Lord Jesus would explain here. Let's move to verse 3. I tell you, actually, you know what? Something is coming to mind even before I go to verse 3. I had just said that God is not the one who is punishing people with calamity. You know what? Sometimes, as I mentioned, some people make wrong decisions. Mm-hmm. Some people choose the way of Satan and they open the door for bad things to come upon them. But that is not God. That is a consequence of poor decision. Did you get that? Okay. So let's find how the Lord Jesus would say essentially the same thing. Verse 3, I tell you, no. Okay, but unless you repent, you too will perish. Verse 4, the Lord Jesus continued, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? Verse 5, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. So the Lord Jesus did not even waste his time to give them some kind of theological answer they were looking for. The Lord Jesus just pointed to the heart of the matter. He said, no, the people who died in these calamities was not because they were sinners, but he highlighted the absolute fact that we should be repentant. We should always be ready to die. We should repent and come into this relationship with God through him, because calamity may strike, earthquakes may strike, war may strike, we may die at any time. So rather than worrying about, or rather than wasting your time with the notion that calamity will befall the sinners, the principle the Lord Jesus is highlighting here is that you should be right with God at all times. Did you get that? So the Lord Jesus is highlighting the emphasis on repentance, coming into this relationship with God through himself, because we live in a fallen world. At any time, calamity may strike. Haven't you known people that you saw the day before and the next day they died in a car crash? Mm-hmm. Today, in the 21st century, we are hearing of wars and rumors of war all over the place. Of course, these are signs of end times, but people are dying. They did not plan to die. Mm-hmm. The key here is to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So I want to just ask you right now, because tomorrow is not guaranteed to anybody. So the Lord Jesus is highlighting the fact that we should be repentant. So have you taking the time to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life as your personal Lord and Savior? You know, let's just talk about this right now before we even continue, because this is the essence of the Lord Jesus' teaching here. Any of us can die at any hour. Only God knows. We live in a fallen world. People step out there, get into their car, they die in a car crash. People die in plane crashes. People die in drowning. People die in earthquakes. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. The only thing that is promised to us is now, as in right now, which is why the Bible teaches that salvation is now. It's not something that you put for tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. So if you have not invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, I am giving you an opportunity right now. Jesus loves you. He died on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago for your sins. When you came into this world, when you were birthed into this world, you inherit that sinful nature that every human being born into this world inherits because of that transgression by Adam and Eve in the garden. As recorded in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve transgressed God's law. Mankind fell from grace. Adam and Eve are considered our common ancestors of the human race. So ever since that transgression in the Garden of Eden, as recorded in Genesis chapter 3, every human being born into this world inherit a sinful nature. You don't need to commit acts of sins to be sinful. You are a sinful man because you are born into this world. Some of you are like, well, that's not fair. Well, it is very fair, because God has taken care of that over 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the only human being in the history of the world who experienced a supernatural conception by God, the Holy Spirit. He is the only one who never inherited that sinful nature, because his conception was supernatural by God, the Holy Spirit. He was birthed into this world by a woman, So Jesus Christ had this dualistic nature, 100% God, Son of God, 100% man, Son of man. He revealed God the Father to us throughout his ministry. He died on Calvary's cross over 3,000 years ago. He was buried, and on the third day, he was raised from the dead with eyewitness, verifiable evidence who saw the risen Christ. So when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he took care of that sinful nature. Only Jesus Christ qualifies to save you because he is the only Messiah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Jesus himself said that. All other so-called religious leaders died and they are still in their tomb. Jesus Christ is the proven Messiah. If you want to repent, and true repentance means you just turn away from your old ways. It's a change of your heart. You open yourself, you allow Jesus Christ, you invite him into your life, and he accepts you. And then the Holy Spirit will start to reveal more of Christ to you. That is really true repentance, because Jesus Christ has given each of us the opportunity not to perish in eternal damnation, but we have to make a decision to personally invite Jesus Christ into our life. Have you done that? You may say, well, how do you do? The Bible says it's so simple, Romans 10:9. If you believe in your heart in these things I am saying about Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died on that cross, raised on the third day, he is alive. If you believe in these things in your heart and you confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved. That is as simple as that. It is so simple that some people are like, well, it has to be more harder than that. No, God is simple. It's us human beings who make God so complicated. Mm-hmm. You don't need to figure it out. If you just believe it, just believe in your heart and you invite Jesus Christ in your life, things will start to make sense because the Holy Spirit will start to open your eyes and you will become enlightened about these truths. Are you ready? If you don't know that you've ever made a confession of faith, if you are not sure, if you're double-minded, this is the time. Don't let Satan deceive you. Satan is right there, right now, telling you, oh, don't do it. No, 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 you do it by the power of God. So just repeat after me. Dear God, I thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe right now, and I am confessing with my mouth, that Jesus Christ is God. He died for my personal sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and change me. Thank you, for I believe you've accepted me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you meant that when you said it, based on the authority of the word of God, God has accepted you. You are a child of God. Welcome into the kingdom of light. You have been instantly sealed by God the Holy Spirit out of Ephesians 1:13. And you can now call upon the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will start to reveal more truths about the word of God to you. And please stick with me in this podcast and grow in your relationship with God and start studying your Bible. Find a Bible-believing church and start attending, and God will reveal more to you. And just trust God. God loves you. Glory to God. And friend, contact me and let me know you've accepted Jesus Christ for the first time, and I will send you a free book to help you grow in this relationship. God is good. Okay, now we move on now. So the Lord Jesus, we left off in verse 5 where the Lord Jesus had told the people in the crowd, I tell you, but unless you repent, you too will perish. So hopefully you have repented and you won't perish. We get into verse 6. The Lord Jesus would now go on to tell them a little parable. And the key to this parable is about consequences for not being fruitful in the kingdom of God. Okay, again, a parable is just a simple story or illustration to highlight a spiritual or a moral lesson. So a spiritual lesson here is being fruitful in the kingdom of God, and that there are consequences when you are barren or fruitless. Okay, so let's pick this up. Verse 6. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard. For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? So the Lord Jesus is telling this story. It's like, you know what? This fig tree for 3 years is barren. It's just taking up space on the earth. Get rid of it. Now, before I continue, in the Old Testament, a tree that was fruitful symbolizes righteousness, symbolizes godly living. Okay? We are told this in Psalm 1:3. Another scripture is Jeremiah 17, verses 7-8. So, in the Old Testament and even during this time of the Lord Jesus' ministry, a tree that is fruitful, such as in this case, a fig tree that was considered fruitful, would symbolize the life of a person who is living in accordance with God's word, who is fruitful in the kingdom of God. So we see this fig tree that is barren, it is not fruitful. And the Lord Jesus has said, cut it down, why should it use up the soil? Let's get into verse 8 to find out how the gardener would respond. Say, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I will dig around it and fertilize it. Verse 9, if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. What's the principle here? Two things are happening here. The barren fig tree represented the nation of Israel back then that were aware of the laws of God through the law of Moses. They were acutely knowledgeable about the workings of God through the law and the Pharisees, the scribes, yet they were not producing fruit of righteousness. And the Lord Jesus Christ was right there in their midst. They were not recognizing him as the Messiah, as representing the kingdom of God. That is one symbolism there. So in this teaching, the parable, the Lord Jesus is teaching us that those 3 years where the fig trees were, or the fig tree rather, represented fruitlessness. But then God is patient, and the gardener here, as the Lord Jesus puts it, asks for one more year to fertilize it. So the Lord Jesus is like, okay, in this story, fine. Let's just give you one more year. If we see fruit, if we see evidence of righteousness, fine. If we don't, you know what? There are consequences. Let it be. Likewise, in the life of a Christian, what this means in the here and now is that when we come to Christ, when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are expected to produce fruit and evidence of righteousness. When we are fruitless, meaning that the light of Christ is not being evident in our lifestyles, there is no evidence of change, God is patient with us, and the power of the Holy Spirit is still on us, working in our lives so that we can bear fruit in the kingdom of God. But the time has to come when we would have to suffer consequences of being fruitless. And the consequences here for a child of God does not mean you're going to go to hell. No, it just means that when you are not producing fruit for the kingdom of God, when your lifestyle is not reflective of Christ-like, you would open the door for the enemy and for bad things to happen to you. And God would allow it because you are disobeying God. Do you get that? You are disobeying God. So for a child of God, we are called to bear fruit. And what does bearing fruit look like? We are advancing the kingdom of God. We are serving in God's kingdom. We, in our own personal life, we are most importantly obeying God. We love God because the Lord Jesus teaches in the Gospel of John 15 that one way we show that we love him is by being obedient towards him. When we are obedient towards God, it means that we are submissive to his teachings. It means that we love one another, we serve, we give into his work, we are sharing Christ with others. Okay, so what kinds of fruit are you seeing in your personal life as a Christian? Because if you are obeying God, you are submissive to the teachings of God, it would be God the Holy Spirit working in your life to mold and shape you into the image of Christ. You would be personally experiencing the joy of the Lord, That is fruit. You would be personally well positioned to overcome crisis and hardships. That is fruit. You would be personally well positioned to be spiritually attuned to the needs of others in and around your environment, and you would be reaching out to others to share Christ or to comfort others, to pray for others. Those are fruits. And of course, advancing the Great Commission, sharing Christ with others, service, giving. These are fruits that as we submit to God the Holy Spirit through obedience, it is the Holy Spirit that will work in our life so we can bear fruit. So a Christian who is barren, just like the Lord Jesus in this story talking about the nation of Israel back then that was barren, God is patient with you. So all you have to do is submit to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and let him walk through you. Okay, because if you are not submissive, if you're not obeying God, then it means that you're living in accordance to your own understanding, which will open the door for the enemy to come into your life to kill, steal, and destroy. And those are the consequences that you won't be able to overcome. You won't be fruitful. You won't be able to live the blessed life that Jesus Christ came for you to enjoy. So the solution is to what? Obey, repent, and submit, and be fruitful. Glory to God, I hope you get this. Okay, we move on to the next upcoming verses. The Lord Jesus would heal a woman on Sabbath, and there is a lot here about healing which I won't have the time to talk about. So I want to talk to you about my testimonial book. For those who have been following this ministry for some time, you know that about 16 years ago, the Lord healed me from metastasis colon cancer when I was given about a year or two to live, and I receive healing, and I am walking in divine health today. So I have a testimonial book which shares my testimony, and it is a teaching handbook on healing. Thousands of copies have been sold. We've received dozens, countless testimonies about people reading this book and receiving a revelation of healing and receiving healings in their bodies, mind, body, and soul. So I recommend you get this book, because I won't get much into these verses to teach on healing. This book is simply titled Healed by the Stripes of Jesus, a true story of God's unconditional love and grace. My story, my miracle, how I overcame metastasis colon cancer. You can be healed too. Please visit our safe and secure website to get this book. This book has its own website. It's drruthhealingtestimony.com. We will attach that in the description box so you can get a copy. It's a thick book, about 355 pages. We are asking for a donation of $33 or more so we can ship this book to you. Please visit this book's website or visit our safe and secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate, and make a donation of $33. We are also on Cash App. The address is $DrRuthTanyi. And we also receive donations through Zelle. The telephone number is 909-501-9031. And we will attach all this in the description box so that you can just click and get a copy of this book. It will truly bless you. It's not just about healing. It teaches you how to receive promises from God. If you live overseas, please get this from Amazon. Okay, so this will teach you how to receive healings and God's promises. Thank you in advance for sending us your donation, which will help us to produce more Bible teaching podcasts. Okay, so we get into verse 10, still here in Luke chapter 13. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Whoa. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. This sounds like a person who was attacked with what we would call today arthritis, because this lady was all crippled. And we would find out later on that it was a demonic attack. Verse 12. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Glory to God. Today, Jesus is still setting people free. If you have a disease in your body, Jesus is telling you the same, just like he told this woman. You are set free. And as I explained in my book, when the Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross, he did not only die for us to receive salvation, he died for us to receive healings in our bodies. I know some churches, in fact, many churches don't preach this. Many preachers don't have a revelation of this, but I do because of what I went through 16 years ago. Friend, if you have a disease in your body, the Lord Jesus has delivered you from that on the cross. All you have to do is renew your mind and receive that healing. And again, my testimonial book teaches you how to do that because I don't have time to get into that. So the Lord Jesus just spoke the word to this woman. Obviously, this woman's heart was open to receive this healing. And I told this woman she'd been set free. And in verse 13, then he, referring to the Lord Jesus, put his hand on her. He laid his hand in partition of that healing. And immediately, she straightened up and praised God. So Jesus laid her hands on this woman instantly. The woman received that healing. I know some of you may be thinking, well, nobody is here to lay hands on me. This is just one way you receive healing from the Lord. There are several other ways. Again, get my testimonial book. The Bible teaches us he sent forth his word and healed them. I am speaking life into you right now. If you have a disease in your body, receive that healing right now. A person does not have to lay hands on you. The criteria to receiving healing is that you open your heart to receive it because healing is available for whosoever will believe. And you receive that, okay? In my situation, my testimony, nobody laid hands on me. I received my healing directly from the word of God as I was able to renew my mind. So where you are right now, I just release the healing virtue of God all over your body right now. Receive that healing in Jesus' name. So this woman started praising the Lord, and right away we see healing is a good thing. When people receive healing from the Lord, they praise the Lord. Unfortunately, there are people today who are saying that God is no longer healing. That is a lie. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the healing virtue of God is still available today, if you believe it. Okay, verse 14. Indignant, because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people. So the synagogue leader, they were upset because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. So the leader said to the people, there are 6 days for work. So come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. Again, the synagogue leader, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had abused the law of Moses to the extent where they regarded healing as works, okay? Because the Sabbath was a day of rest. They were not to work, but healing was not actual work. But the Pharisees and the leader here of this synagogue was telling the people who were there at church, a synagogue like a church, that no, you cannot be healed, you cannot receive healing on a Sabbath. And that was not true. Jesus Christ imparted that healing to tell people that God is always working. Healing is not considered work. But the Pharisees, to them, they had added so many man-made rules to the Sabbath that they were placing a bondage onto the people, and Jesus Christ came to set the people free. So let us find out how the Lord Jesus would respond to these synagogue leaders' complaint that healing was work. Verse 15, the Lord Jesus answered him, you hypocrite, obviously hypocrite, because you are teaching the law of Moses but practicing something contrary to that. The Lord Jesus said, you hypocrite, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Exactly. The Lord Jesus is like, you are hypocrite. You are telling me I should not heal on a Sabbath, but you synagogue leaders, you Pharisees, you Jewish people, yet on a Sabbath day, you allow your animal to be fed, but now you don't want me to heal a human being created in the image of God? You hypocrites. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus is saying. Verse 16. Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? Exactly. The Lord Jesus is like, if you can allow your oxen to be fed on a Sabbath, what about this woman created in the image of God? Shouldn't this woman be set free too? Just like Jesus is telling us today, God is still healing. Don't let anyone deceive you that God is no longer healing. If your church doesn't preach that, it's unfortunate. Then I'm sorry, you need to find a church that preaches the truth out of the word of God. Healing is still available today. Okay, and again here we see the Lord Jesus telling us that this infirmity was an oppression by the devil. And obviously we see the Lord Jesus exerting infinite power over the works of Satan. So even if you are being attacked by Satan today, oppressed one way or the other, the Lord Jesus is saying that in me, I have power for you to be set free. Call upon me right now, and I am here to help you. So God's power is infinite. The power of Satan is limited. Verse 17, when he said this, this is the Lord Jesus, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Glory to God. So the people were happy that this healing took place and that the Lord Jesus pointed out these Pharisees and synagogue leader hypocrisy, and the crowd were blessed. Just like today, we are blessed when we see the power of God in manifestation. Glory to God. I want to end this session here. What is the key principle and application we've learned from Luke 13 verses 1 through 17? Number one, true repentance. Okay, we have talked about that. Number two, fruitfulness in the life of the believer. And number three, healing. And in conclusion, I just want to say that if you said that prayer with me earlier, the Bible says that all things have passed away, the new is here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All those who are in Christ Jesus are new creatures. The old is gone, the new is here. So you are a child of God, and as I discussed already, open your heart to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to you and to embolden you to live a fruitful life for the kingdom of God. And of course, don't be deceived. Healing is available in the here and now. So let me just pray for you right now. Arthritis is coming to mind. Father God, for all those who are listening to me right now, who are dealing with pain in their body, arthritic pain, I release your healing into their body right now. Oh, glory to God, Father God. Just by virtue of them still listening to me, their hearts are open to receive that healing. There is no barrier to your healing virtue. Your healing virtue is touching them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Their body is receiving life and their body is being strengthened. They are getting out of bed. By faith, they are acting out their healing. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. If I pray that prayer for you, you believe that Jesus Christ, his healing virtue is touching you right now, then you need to act as somebody who is healed. Because the Bible says that faith without corresponding action is dead. So get out of bed, get out of wherever you are sitting, start acting as somebody who is healed, and the Holy Spirit will embolden you. Glory to God. If that is you, contact me. Father God, we thank you. Let's just pray and thank God. Father, we thank you. I thank you for all the listeners today. I thank you for your strength in their bodies. I thank you for revelation in their individual lives. Thank you, Father God, to show them how they can be fruitful in your kingdom. I thank you that your joy saturates their heart. Your peace is their portion. I thank you for leading their paths today. We just thank you for this time we've spent and for these timeless teachings. Help us, Holy Spirit, to put this into our personal lives and live this out to glorify you. Father, we thank you for blessing us, for loving us. I pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all those who agree, say amen. God loves you. Thank you for donating into this ministry and for purchasing the book, Healed by the Stripes of Jesus. God loves you.
Today is a day the Lord has made, so rejoice in it as you proceed with the rest of your day. I am Chris Horam. Goodbye.